In her book, My Grandfather's Blessings, Rachel Naomi Remen, who is a medical doctor, she's both an oncologist and a pediatrician, tells a powerful story. And it's a story of a young couple. They were having their first child. And they were excited and really anxious to have this baby. They went to the parenting classes and they went to all the Lamaze classes and they did all of the things that they should do, and they were really excited about this. And the time came and it was a very difficult labor. She was in really hard labor for a long time, like 12 hours, and she was exhausted. And the doctors, the OBGYNs, recommended that she have a C-section. And she was very much afraid of that, and she adamantly refused the C-section. So the labor continued for several more hours, and at that point the OB doctors brought in Rachel Naomi Remen as the pediatrician to advise on the health of this little baby. And she came to the conclusion that the baby was certainly stressed, but the baby was healthy and okay. And she continued in this labor, refusing the C-section. And at that time, her husband Miguel reached out to his wife's mother back on the East Coast and had her call his wife to maybe impart a little of her wisdom and urge her to go ahead and have this operation. And after he gave the phone to his wife, he went to the waiting room, and there was his father, who had been waiting all of this time in the waiting room. And he talked with his dad for a while, and his father told him it was going to be okay. He told him, don't worry. This is going to be okay. And they talked for a while, and he went back up, and his wife had finally agreed that she was going to go ahead and have the C-section. So they began the preparations for that and whatnot. And Rachel Naomi Remen went up to her office to let her team know that she would be the attending pediatrician at this deliver this operation. And as she was in her office, she got a stat call, get back down there immediately. And it's what happened is, with three giant pushes, boom, the baby came. And there was an exhausted but healthy and happy mom, a proud dad, and a healthy, wailing little baby boy. Sometime later, Rachel talked to Miguel, the husband, and she asked him if he had any idea what had caused this miracle. This all of a sudden the baby came after all this time with nothing. And he said, yes, he said, my dad had something to do with it. Really? And he explained that his dad had told him that he had felt the fear. He had felt the mom's fear. He had felt Miguel's fear. And he even felt the fear in that little baby. And so what he did is, in his own mind, he went in and he talked to the baby. He had shown the baby his many memories of the beauty of the land, and its dawns and its sunsets, and the new crops and the rich harvests. He had told the baby that he looked forward to walking together on the earth. He had spoken of the goodness of life, of friendship and laughter and good work. And lastly, he had spoken his love for his family. He had remembered his own father in Mexico and his wife, now both dead. One by one, he had spoken of the baby's uncles, his sons, of their goodness and their strength, of his pride in them and the women that they had married. He shared memories of Christmas and birthdays and weddings, of the joy that they took in each other's lives. He had offered the baby his heart. And the baby had come. My question for you today, are you ready to be born into a new experience? Are you ready to step away from the womb filled with fear and step into a new way of being, a new way of living in this earth? Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming out on this beautiful fall day. We just got back from North Carolina, and I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be back. I love Alaska, and it's really hard to be outside. And we went on a foliage tour, worked out great. All the leaves hadn't changed yet. The calendars all said that's the peak week. They're all green. But if you get a little higher in elevation, they start changing. And so we went up in the Smokies to over 6,000 feet and drove through it. They were spectacular up in the Smokies. So we got to see Etruya. She drove over from Knoxville, and we saw Etruya, and that was a great time too. And then, oh yeah. There's a lot of things about the trip, but one of them I'm going to talk about next week, and that's the fire walk. And we did the fire walk. Ann and I both walked on fire. The title of my talk today is Prosperity is Holy. And it's part one of a three-part series, and the three-part series is known as The Prosperous Flow. My three points today are, first of all, prosperity is holy. Then I'm going to talk about getting and giving. And then finally, we're going to have fun. I'm going to have a little interview with a congregant. So that'll be fun. First of all, prosperity is holy. Many of us have grown up with a very dysfunctional and negative attitude toward money and prosperity. There are many false beliefs that surround money, and they have been with us for centuries. One, money is the root of all evil. Has anybody ever heard that? Well, it's like the rest of the Paul Harvey things. We need to get the whole statement. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's when we have love for money itself that causes it, not money itself. Another one, this is my one that I confess to, money is dirty. Why, when I was little, my mother told me money is dirty. I saw that man sneezing and he reached right into his pocket and took out change. That, there's germs all over it. And make no mistake, the universe has a wonderful sense of humor. So here I am. Do not like touching money, do not anything. End up in the military in the cashier's cage, and I got to count the vault every week out at Elmendorf. Every bill I would go in and wash my hands like 6-8 times a day. They thought I was what? Money is dirty. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. But that's what we're taught. It's in the Bible. Well, what does that mean? There are a lot of different interpretations, but it's another one of those great parables of Jesus that really make you think. Here's a good one. Heroes are poor but honest. Villains are rich but dishonest. And think about it in the movies. So many times in the movie, the hero is the poor guy, but he's really honest and a good guy. The villain, he's rich, but a bad guy. And then think of nuns and monks who take a vow of poverty. They absolutely embrace, and they are going to be poor no matter what. and that devil, he's rich. So where there are all of these false beliefs around money, and I could go on and on and on about them, because those are just the ones that came up to me right away. There are all those beliefs are simply not true. Ernest Holmes pointed out, and this is so clear, if all is an expression of life, everything is an expression of life, then money is an expression of life, and therefore must be good. It is the nature of God to give to all of creation through us. God gives to all of creation through us. We live in an abundant universe. All one has to do is look up at the star-filled sky on a dark Alaska night. And you can see the Milky Way. You can see the millions and millions of stars, the points of light. But then remember that most of those points of light aren't a point of light. They are their own galaxy. There are millions of stars within that point of light. It's an infinite thing that we have a hard time getting our minds around, the number of stars that are in the sky. Another way that I like to think of abundance, it happened to me once when I was fishing over in Bristol Bay area, and the salmon were just coming in, and I remember I was out there fly fishing, and boom, I looked down, and the salmon coming in were so numerous, they were running into my boots. They were running into my waders. Millions and millions of sockeye salmon coming in. And more with every tide. We live in an abundant universe. Abundance is the nature of our universe. And then if we think of the divine presence, God is not some thrifty Scotsman living in the sky that doles out riches to those that he favors. That would be God limiting God. That can't be. We are not meant to lack for any good thing that expresses the life of God within us. Again, we are not meant to lack for any good thing that expresses the life of God within us. Prosperity is holy. Every moment can be prosperous if you look for it. Prosperity is measured in so many different ways. If we find it hard to attract prosperity and abundance in monetary form, it's important to recognize the other things that make us feel abundant. To actually say, this is a prosperous moment. I feel abundant. I've told a story before, but it bears repeating. Many years ago, I was TA for Reverend Marquita for a really large foundations class. I think we had 28 students in that class. So we had four pods of seven students, and in my pod there was a gentleman, and as we talked about money and prosperity and abundance and all of that side of doing, and we talked about giving to the center and whatnot, he kind of had a perplexed look on his face, and I asked him what was going through his mind, and he said, I never looked at money and prosperity that way before. I said, by those measurements, I don't think I have very much. And I know that he didn't have a lot of money. I mean, he didn't have a car. He came to church on a bicycle, or he took the bus. I know that he lived in a very tiny apartment. But what he said, but I've never felt lack. He said, I have a beautiful wife. that I dearly love. I have two beautiful daughters that I love and that love me. I have always felt like the richest man in the world. And it made me realize, who's the rich one here? This is a prosperous moment. I feel abundant. And I think it's a great exercise also to wish these things for others. An easy prayer is, I bless and prosper everyone I connect with today. Life blesses and prospers me. Let's say this together. I bless and prosper everyone I connect with today. Again, I bless and prosper everyone I connect with today. Life blesses and prospers me. Life blesses and prospers me. By breaking down the resistance to the words abundance and prosperity, we begin the journey to welcoming that which they represent. Point number two, getting and receiving, or getting and giving. We live in a reciprocal universe. That means that what we put forth into the universe is what is given back to us. The great way shower Jesus, according to Luke, said, give and it shall be given unto you. We also say today, what comes around goes around. What we put forth into the universe is what comes back to us. Opening the door to prosperity starts with the understanding that we have to open our hearts to it as we open our hearts to all of the qualities of God. Again, we have to understand that we have to open our hearts to prosperity and abundance, just as we do to truth, love, beauty, the other attributes of God. We don't look at that newborn baby. We don't look at the sunrise and wonder if we're worthy enough to enjoy this sunrise. We don't look at that baby and wonder if we are worthy of that baby's love or if we're worthy enough to give the baby love. No, it's the same principle. We don't have to worry that we are worthy enough to have money, to be rich, to support things. We open our hearts to all of the qualities of God. And so now I would like to invite one of our congregants. Heather Eldred, would you please come up? I have asked Heather to come up. Thank you for doing it. Heather has supported our center financially. Heather has stepped into support of our center with all types of endeavors, work, including all the marketing stuff you do, or doing some web design, countless hours of effort. But today I want to talk about this, and I want to ask Heather a few questions and talk about this. In what areas of your life do you feel abundantly blessed?
Well, obviously I feel abundantly blessed right now in this moment with all of you. But I've known about the law of attraction for a long time. I don't really know. I think I always knew on some inherent level, but it came into my consciousness probably in a real way probably about 10 years ago when I read The Power Now. And then started reading Deepak. So I've known about it. I believe in it. It makes perfect sense. I think in the areas of money and finances is probably where I've been able to harness the power of the attraction in the best way.
Have you always felt this way?
I don't think so. I grew up really poor. I don't really remember a lot of the negative things around money, but I certainly don't remember an atmosphere where, you know, it was even a possibility to be abundant in a financial way. I think my dad, at 15, my mom married my stepdad. He was this guy that would give you the shirt off his back. And he made miracles happen. We needed to get $30,000 for a down payment on a house, and he just made it happen in like 2 weeks. And so he wasn't like a rich guy, but he definitely had that flow. And I think that's where I knew that you have to have faith in that. You have to have faith in, you know, put it out there and it's going to come back to you.
Do you ever experience doubt and fear around money? Start worrying about, oh, is it going to happen?
Of course. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I've been very blessed in my life, but there still are those moments where you kind of have that, you know, everything comes at once, you know, the kid needs braces and you have to have surgery and whatever. And in those moments, of course, I feel a doubt. And then I feel a constriction, like maybe I shouldn't give my donation to the center this month. But in that moment, I know that's when I have to open up. As soon as I feel that contraction, I feel my life in all areas contracting. And so that's where I just have to breathe in that faith. And I know that right then is the moment I need to give more. I need to put out more and have absolute faith that it's going to work out. And it always does.
So what happens when you give?
I feel this, like, I mean, literally, I think it was David Knutson. I wish he was here, but he had this perfect analogy of being physically in this flow. And when the more I put out, and I think about it like go into a grocery store and you smile at somebody, you get a smile back. You know, that's the best way to give what you're looking for in life is to put it out there. And so that's what that flow feels like in all areas.
Thank you. Why have you decided to give to this center, to the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living?
I believe in our mission. We are teaching spiritual transformation, and all of my life I have wanted to give back to the world. I mean, really in a very tangible way. And at the beginning of this year, I had an epiphany and I decided my word of the year is transcend, which a lot of you know already. And so I really want to take it to the next level. And I've always believed in, I don't want to just give somebody a fish. I want to teach them to fish. And I believe that's what our center does. I have gotten so much joy and so much fulfillment from being in this place with you guys that I just believe in it so much. And I want everybody to experience us. And there's so many people that don't even know about us. And so, you know, that is my support. This is what Spirit has shown me. This is one of my number one goals is I have got to show up here. I've got to give my time and give my money so we can get the word out there. So we can have this spiritual transformation, not just in Anchorage, but all over the world. You know, not to be too small.
Thank you. And now you know why I had her say that. In the seat back in front of you is a pledge card. This is the one day of the year, the one time that we do ask for money. This is the one time where we do ask for a pledge. This pledge is twofold. The small side of it is making a commitment to the center so that our trusted board, all those people we had up here before, can make, you know, a budget and be good stewards of your tithes and gifts and offerings. But there's a much bigger point of that, a big, bigger point of this commitment. And that is that when you make that commitment, it's to yourself. It's a commitment to yourself to step into that flow, to step into that reciprocal universe. That as you give, it will be returned to you over and over. It is a commitment to yourself. So I'm asking you to take the time to fill out that pledge card. They will be in the seat backs for the next 3 weeks. We're going to take them out for Friday. We're not going to invite in a bunch of guests and ask them to give us money. We will, however, on that Friday have affirmation cards. So instead of doing a collection, we're going to have our baskets and pass out affirmations like we usually do on Sunday. But they're going to be there for the next 3 weeks. So if you want the time to think about it, to think about the amount, to take it home and pray on it, I advise you to do that. We'll be collecting them for the next 3 weeks. So this is the time of year when we can step forth. We recently, while I was in North Carolina, we got a little bump in the old bank account, thanks to the state of Alaska. So if you would feel motivated to make a contribution based on that, I think, what is it, $105 this year would be?
$1,100.
Oh, it's $1,100? Mm-hmm. Oh, so $110. You want to do 10%. But that's... oh, we are late. It's 10 to noon. Conclusion. Rather than a bow on the package this week, I'm going to finish with another story. And this is an old, old story. You can tell it's old because it's a little boy that goes to a soda fountain. And I know there are some of you out there that don't know what a soda fountain is. Well, there used to be these things called drug stores. That's right, they sold drugs in stores. And these drug stores had soda fountains. And a soda fountain was this magical place where you could get things like root beer floats and other wonderful things. You could get ice cream. You could get all kinds of great stuff. Well, this little boy went into the soda fountain, and busy waitress, and she said, "What can I do for you, son?" And he said, "Well, how much is a sundae?" She said, 50 cents. She looked down, and he was counting out his money. And she went and helped another customer, and she came back. She says, "Well, have you decided?" He says, "How much is a dish of ice cream?" And she said, 35 cents. And he goes back to counting. She came back and she says, "Have you decided?" And he says, "Yes, I'd like a dish of ice cream." And she said, "Okay." And she brought him his ice cream and he ate it and he ate it. He loved every drop of it. He loved his ice cream and he finished. And so she gave him his check for him to take and go up and pay the cashier. She gave him his check. And as he left and headed to the cashier, she looked down. She had a tear in her. Because she looked down and next to his almost licked clean bowl were two nickels and five pennies. He had taken the lesser item. He had taken the ice cream instead of the sundae so that he could leave a tip. So my question to you today, I return to my question. Are you ready to be born again? Are you ready to be born into a new experience? Are you willing to step out of the womb of fear and be birthed into a more generous life? For a closing prayer today, this is another one that came in my email early this morning. This is from Ernest Holmes of Science of Mind. We know the background of human thought is, to a great extent, one of negation, a denial of a harmonious and spiritual universe. Consequently, our outlook on life must be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And even when the results are not immediately forthcoming, we must still maintain a calm serenity of thought. So with that in mind, I'd like to ask my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in holding our congregation and the world. For this word is true for all of the congregants of the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living and for the world itself. The infinite mind of God is peace, harmony, love, wisdom, and divine right action. As a whole and perfect individualization of that mind, I am peaceful, harmonious, loving, wise, and my thoughts and actions are divinely guided. The love of God fills all space and each sentient being, nurturing and comforting all who experience temporary chaos or loss. My thoughts and feelings remain focused on serenity as I align myself with Spirit's peace and power. The changeless reality of harmony underlies all temporary conditions, and on the deepest level, I know that all is well. I quiet my mind and find transcendent tranquility. I still my emotions and experience perfect peace. Maintaining my confidence in the loving presence and intelligent law, I know with all my heart that harmony prevails as I am transformed by faith and open to new divine possibilities, awaiting the results with cheerful expectancy. I am established in grace and walk with ease in the gentle flow of life today as I gratefully embody the truth of this word and release it to the perfect law of mind. And so it is.